Hello everyone, you are tuning in to the 100th episode of the Audible Weed Walk. I myself cannot believe it. 100th episode? Really? This is going to be a food fairness episode, the sixth one in this category. In this food fairness episode, I, along with you, take a step back and look not just which food to eat, but reflect upon our food culture and in the context of the society. Question the values that governs them. So here we go. This is Nina welcoming you. An ancient Greek philosopher, Heraclitus, had stated, "War is the father of all things." However, if you really think about it, most political dominance and conflicts worldwide, with far-reaching effects on the lives and the politics of people, have taken place for something as simple and essential as food. Case in point, the spices that changed the world. Europeans were smitten by the exotic spices that came to them from the East and Far East via the Arab traders. As they started getting heavy on their exchequer, something needed to be done. This inspired the various European powers to undertake expeditions in search of a sea route to India and further east. The rest, as they say, is history. It was the trigger that led to the first wave of globalization, characterized by brutal colonial dominance of a few nations over many others for centuries. In addition, it also led to the discovery and plunder of the New World, which nurtured a slave trade and necessitated, among other things, for production of sugarcane to fuel the growing worldwide addiction to sugar. Scholars argue that war evolved as human increasingly shifted from a hunter-gatherer lifestyle to an agrarian one. So when we talk about food, it is not simply about food, is it? By the way, please take a note that the hunter-gatherer lifestyle depended totally on foraging wild plants and other wild creatures. Not only they did not do large-scale food production, but did also not create large-scale conflict or large-scale population or high-impact lifestyles. We have crossed that time, therefore we cannot embrace that lifestyle for our mainstream. But it brings a certain awareness. Perhaps the best thing we can do at the present time is to source our food carefully. When we are going for plant-based milk, do not always go for the almond meal because it's healthy, but look at where it is coming from, the issues of large-scale monocultures of almonds. Maybe if you cannot avoid it, have plant-based milk from a variety of sources. That way, at least you reduce the leaning on one. Biodiversity is, after all, the key to all our strengths. Maybe encouraged and buy from small farmers. Know where our food are coming from. And maybe grow some on your own, even if it has to be on your windowsill and in the veranda. It makes us love the food we grow and makes us more aware and in some ways respectful to the products that others produce. Love the seasonality, the variety, the diversity that are not just good for our tongue, but has proven to be good for our souls and, of course, very good for our tummy and health. Think about it. Only yesterday in a class, I was telling my students that about a law of ecology where everything is connected to everything else. Knowing and realizing that interconnected world, what is good for our heart, our health, is also good for the planet Earth. Now let us look at how we define ourselves based on our diet. Before that, let's define the different broad categories that we hear about. We have something called lacto-vegetarian, who takes milk and other animal products like honey. Then we have lacto-ovo-vegetarian, who take, in addition to everything else, they also take eggs. There is another group who, in addition to the egg, also take fish. So this lacto-ovo and lacto-ovo-piscitarian diet are really not much different from the non-vegetarian diet, except that they don't eat meat. There are vegans who do not take milk or any animal products, including honey. In addition, there are people like me, and yes, there is a term for people like me. It's called flexitarians, who are somewhere in between. For example, eat vegetables, eggs, meat, and fish, but not milk and milk product and honey, etc. Prefer vegetarian diet, but from time to time, take others also. Then there are raw food eaters, raw vegans. There are subcategories of food choices. They are endless. Now let us talk about the healthy food. Hands down, study after study has shown that a healthy vegetarian meal is better for us and the planet. So I'm not going to go over that here. I'm sure that many of you who are listening are fully aware of these benefits. I just wanted to highlight two words here: choices, or food choices, and healthy. Vegetarian food is healthy in general, but there can be healthy vegetarian, vegan food and unhealthy ones too. Most nutrients and micronutrients come from vegetables. Amino acids come from protein that are needed for building muscles and immunity. They often come from non-animal sources. But a combination of nuts and legumes can supply them, but one has to be careful. When we talk about a healthy diet and strongly come to defend it, it needs to be accessible and affordable to the majority. The hunger quotient is rising worldwide and in India. The world is already producing more food than necessary to feed everyone. Why then there should be hunger? That is about politics and food distribution and poverty. Do you think that majority have such choices to make? If you and I can choose, great. But when we highlight a food system as supreme, it automatically undermines others. The truth is, nothing is supreme by itself. It is a tool, and like all tools, needs to be used correctly. Then it is great. And if it is not used correctly, then it's not good at all. Professor Ki Sun, an MD at Harvard's School of Public Health, says that for healthy people, eating vegetarian diet is great and risk-free. But it has to be carefully curated so that it's a healthy vegetarian meal and nothing like French fries and veggie burgers. While the vegetarian diet is proven to lower the risk of diabetes, which is one of our greatest killers, it also lowers the risk of heart diseases at least by 13%. However, it is also shown that vegetarian and vegan diet increases the risk of stroke by 20%. The vegetarian diet was not the cause, but found as a strong correlation in this study. There is another nutrient called choline. Humans do not produce enough of it that it needs. So animal protein is a good source of choline. It is needed for brain health. Dietitians will say over vegetarians who take mostly vegetarian diet but also adds a few eggs weekly get enough choline through that source easily. So in school meal programs, many kids from the underprivileged backgrounds, especially girl child who has only one good square meal per day to eat at their school, if you eliminate the egg, is that a great idea? Especially when the kids themselves have no restriction on eating them. Again, one can remain strictly on vegan diet and still get enough nutrients when carefully curated. In India, this diet gets another dimension because it is also related to the caste system. While it is true, a vegetarian diet can be healthy when prepared right, when it's a well-balanced one, not everyone can afford it. Moreover, there is a concept of okasatmya, expressed way back in Charaka Samhita in Ayurveda. It refers to habituation that is developed by choice or by spontaneous exposure, such as a certain food in the family or culture since birth. And listen to this, which I find it so interesting. The food may or may not be beneficial for health per se, but to that particular person, it becomes suitable and satisfying without any harmful effects. So maybe this explains why you have people who eat heavy egg and bacon breakfast and cooked in animal fat and still doing fine. Closer to home, you have most Indian taking milk products long after their bodies have stopped producing lactase to digest it. So when we arrive at a diet that really makes us feel light, good, energetic and healthy, and we know that it is healthy for the planet, we want to tell others, inform and include them in this amazing journey. The problem comes when it becomes a criteria to judge others or to hold a flag so tight that it becomes a dogma. I have known willing and practicing vegans for years who had come to a point through their practice who could listen to their body and decide it is time to eat meat. And they did. That should be the attitude. Otherwise, it becomes another ism in a negative way, like casteism or classism. By the way, I checked the current definition of foodism. Turns out it means exaggerated interest in preparation, presentation, and consumption of food. Not entirely negative, right? It is not quite negative yet, but let us not push it there. So, what percentage of Indians are vegan or vegetarian? I am clubbing these two categories because we probably don't have very good figure on vegan. If you do a search on the figure, you will come up readily with something between 20 to 39%. That's quite a large variation. And some will categorically say it's 40%. However, I think it is more an intentional figure. The National Family of Health Survey in India, however, puts it at 75% to be non-vegetarian, which is, it makes it only 25% vegetarian. So it is maybe, the truth is that many people are flexitarian, which is the reason for these differences in number. That is, they are mostly vegetarian, but sometimes also eat other things. Most vegetarians are in the narrow northern belt of the country. The same report suggests vegetarians are only 3% of the population in most of the southern states, including Tamil Nadu. But why then there are so many vegetarian-only restaurants? It is because the social and the caste ladder put vegetarian higher than the majority. Now let us quickly address the issue of vegetarian-vegan diet, not killing a being to eat. Is that true? Quoting Sri Aurobindo, "Eater eating is eaten." I think it says it all. As living beings, we can only nourish ourselves by eating other beings that are living. And in turn, we will be eaten up one day. Plants not having a nervous system is a matter of catching up to do by science rather than a scientific, or rather, a scientific gadgets need to be there to quote-unquote prove rather than a valid reason. Only in the 20th century, Dr. J.C. Bose proved to the world that the plants are living beings. Imagine that. Only a few weeks ago, bees were accepted as sentient beings. Can you believe that? Science, of course, and PETA also recognizes plants respond even when a tiny caterpillar visits. There are studies that shows when a plant gets eaten up by a herbivore, other parts of the same plant and other plants nearby increases the toxicity in their leaves as a reaction. They may not respond as we do. They may not have a nervous system, and so their pain may not be defined by ours. It is a matter of time before we will know more about it. Until then, it's good to recognize that we nourish ourselves with the living cells of other beings. It is important that when these beings are living, we let them live a happy and healthy life as well. Plants devoid of chemicals and pesticides, animals without growth hormones and terrible living conditions, and when we actually take them for our food, they are done with compassion and not with cruelty. By no means they can be justified, or the cruel behavior that we actually show towards animals and also to our plants and soil. Take home message: we need to be and feel healthy. We can and need to break patterns for achieving that and arriving at an evolving system for ourselves, where we listen to our earth, the soil, and teeming lives that nourish us through our bodies. We need to tune in with the season and the local produce, the small farms. We may need to grow things ourselves, even if it is just one pot, to nurture that connection. If we feel good at heart and healthy in our body when we eat, we have done something right by the earth. So with that thought, wishing health, well-being and harmony to you and yours in this brand new year, I take a leave. I'll see you next year sometime. Until then, stay well and stay safe.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the City of Dawn.